It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Ann Tyson. Ann is the puppy raising field manager for Guide Dogs for the Blind. Hey there, Ann. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's so fun. You know, once or twice a year, I get to talk to Guide Dogs for the Blind about the stuff you're doing, and you guys just do amazing things. But let's familiarize our audience once again with Guide Dogs for the Blind. Tell us about it.
Guide Dogs for the Blind is the largest guide dog school in North America. We were founded in 1942, and we currently have about 2,000 active guide dog teams. And over that 80 years, we've graduated more than 16,000 teams. We have two campuses. One's in San Rafael, California, and the other one is local in Boring, Oregon. And our mission includes three kinds of programs. We have, of course, our guide dog program. And then we have an orientation and mobility immersion program for people who want to learn more about having a guide dog. And we have a canine buddy program that pairs some of our dogs with youth and adults who are visually impaired but are not using a guide dog. And the most important thing to know is that we don't charge anything for our dogs or our services. The support we provide includes vet care, in-person support for our guide dog teams. We have a call-in support center. We provide an alumni association. And we entirely rely on the generosity of donors to provide this unparalleled level of support.
That's truly amazing that you can actually survive by doing that. That's something.
Yeah, between our donors and our volunteers, we have an amazing, amazing organization.
So mostly, like you say, your offices are in California and here in Boring, Oregon. Are you mostly focused on guide dogs, providing guide dogs for people on the West Coast, or is it all across the country?
We provide guide dogs all across North America. So all of the United States and Canada.
That's amazing. Wow. And you said how many dogs have you raised so far and provided?
We've provided 16,000 dogs since our founding in 1942, and we currently have about 2,000 active working guide dog teams.
Wow. Tell us about the breeds that Guide Dogs for the Blind uses.
We use three different breeds. We use Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers, and then we have crosses between those two, so Lab Golden Crosses.
Why those dogs?
We have found through the years and trying other breeds that those three breeds are our most successful. We've been breeding our Labradors for many decades to do the work of a guide dog. And they are specifically selected for their trainability, their confidence, and their ability to be a guide dog.
Tell me about how long it takes for a guide dog to become a guide dog. It's a lot of training involved.
There is a lot of training involved, and the believe it or not, the training starts from the moment they are whelped. We have staff and volunteers who socialize them while they're still at our puppy center, and then the pups are transported to our wonderful volunteers. At 2 months of age, and these volunteers work with them, socialize them, and teach them good manners, build their confidence from 2 months until they're ready to go back for formal guide training to one of our campuses. And that can be anywhere from 13 months to 16 months of age. And then once they're on campus, we have a 12-week training program that we have orientation and mobility experts who train these guide dogs to get paired up with a client. And at the end of their training, we have a two-week class for the dog and the client. And we provide all that support to teach the client how to work with their brand new guide dog. And at the end of that time, we have a graduation celebration. So overall, it takes a couple of years to create a guide dog.
I've heard that graduation ceremony is quite touching.
It is incredibly touching. Definitely bring a tissue. We have guide dog graduations every other weekend on our Oregon campus, and they are open to the public. So if anyone is interested in attending one of those, you can find the schedule on our website at guidedogs.com.
Great. We're talking today with Ann Tyson. Ann is the puppy raising field manager for Guide Dogs for the Blind. So Ann, tell me about the puppy raising programs with Guide Dogs for the Blind.
So we have two models of puppy raising. One of them is our club-based model, where volunteers live near one of our puppy clubs, and they would attend puppy club activities that happen on a regular basis and learn from expert, experienced volunteers that are called our puppy club leaders how to raise a guide dog puppy. And when they have the learning they need, they will be provided with a guide dog puppy and continue to be supported both by staff and the puppy club leader throughout the time they have that puppy in their home. And then we have a new model that we piloted last year in California, and we are excited to be bringing to the Portland area, called our hybrid puppy raising model. And in this model, there are not puppy club activities. So the volunteers learn how to raise a puppy through online learning, through webinars, and through half-day in-person workshops directly with our expert staff. This model was designed to make puppy raising more accessible for people who want to raise a puppy, but who either don't live near a puppy club or who schedule is not such that they could regularly attend puppy club activities.
Excellent. So this started in California, was quite successful there.
Yeah, we started it in California last year, and it has been quite successful. It's fun because in the hybrid model, all of the raisers get trained at the same time, and they all get their puppies at the same time. And so it's a little bit of a cohort, and we connect people through social media so they can share stories about their puppies online and pictures. And sometimes there's litter mates, and they can talk to each other. And so that first group of puppies that we started in California last year is now doing really well. And they are about a year old. So they will return for training in just a few months.
Excellent. The pandemic kind of made everybody realize that you can do a lot of things remotely and virtually. Was this new puppy hybrid program, was that any result of the goings on during the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. So during the pandemic, just like everyone, we at Guide Dogs learned how to use virtual meetings and how to do our jobs, using people sending us videos and FaceTiming and all of the technology that really came to the forefront during the pandemic. And as we became more comfortable with that kind of support system, we had the idea that we could actually make that part of our puppy raising models in a formal way.
That's excellent. It's amazing to pivot like that. That's fantastic. For years,
it's worked out really well.
Yeah. For years, one of my coworkers here at the radio station, she's been a puppy raiser for a long time. And so it's always been so fantastic to have a new puppy around quite frequently and to watch them grow up and get socialized. And Barb, she is the perfect person to do that. But what kind of criteria must applicants meet to become a puppy raiser?
So our puppy raisers will need to learn our introductory pathway to puppy curriculum. So that'll teach them everything they need to know to have a baby puppy in their home. And then we'll provide additional support as they need more advanced training. And so they'll do an online self-study course and a half-day workshop. And then if they're part of a club, they'll also attend club activities. To do the hybrid program, the volunteers need to live within 75 miles of our Boring, Oregon campus. And to be in the club-based model, they'll need to live within driving distance of one of our puppy clubs.
And that would mean a puppy club. Where are the puppy clubs? Would that be in Boring?
So we have many in the Portland area. And then there's one in Hood River. There's one in Lake Oswego. There's one in Vancouver. There is a Salem club. There is a Corvallis club and a Eugene club. So all over the northwest area of Oregon.
That's great. So as everybody knows, anybody who has a pet knows what responsibility it is to take care of a dog. So what kind of support does guide dogs give to puppy raisers?
So we have our puppy raising staff, puppy raising field managers, who are experts in puppy training and behavior. And then in the clubs, there are experienced and dedicated volunteers called puppy club leaders. And they both support the raisers by teaching workshops, hosting webinars, attending puppy club activities. The puppy raising field managers check in with the raiser and the puppy and do one-on-ones to provide personalized support. We also cover the cost of all the vet care for the puppies, and we can assist with the purchasing of equipment and dog food if that's needed.
That's great. That's a lot of support because, like I say, everybody who has a pet knows that they can be quite expensive.
They can be expensive, and we like to offset that cost as much as we can for our volunteers.
How early in a puppy's life can you determine if it's going to be a good guide dog or not?
That is an excellent question. And we like to give our puppies as many opportunities as possible to become guide dogs. And we will work through any potential issues that might come up in puppy raising. So, for instance, if a puppy is distracted in public by people or other dogs, we have the expert staff that I mentioned will provide a training plan for the volunteer to work through that kind of distraction in order to get their behavior to a level where they are ready to go in for formal training. And most of our puppies, make it to formal training. And then, there are a few that that don't make it to formal training or informal training don't quite make it as a guide dog. But for the most part, we give every puppy many opportunities and training to become a guide dog.
Yeah. Tell me about how much the dogs enjoy the work that they do.
We make it very fun, especially in the puppy raising program. They have all kind of opportunities for play and enjoying their environment and being a dog in between the times when they are taught using food reward, how to have good manners on leash and how to behave in public. And then when they go in for training, we use almost entirely positive reinforcement methods to train these dogs to be guide dogs. And you'll see when you watch them work how happy they are with their job.
Yeah. Tell me about the time when a dog is working and when a dog is not working. How can we tell the difference as the public?
So as the public, for a working dog, if they are in harness, then they are working. So a guide dog will be wearing a harness that has a handle on the back of it. It's easily identifiable. And if they are wearing their harness, they are working, and it is appropriate to not approach or talk to the dog at that point in time. And for the puppies, they are working if they are wearing their green puppy jacket that says Guide Dogs for the Blind Puppy in Training. And the public should treat them as if they are a working dog. So what the puppies need to learn is that when they're in public with their jacket, they are working and connected to the handler that's on the other end of the leash. And they're trying to learn to ignore all the fun distractions that are in public.
And they're so cute. It's so tempting to want to go up and pet them all the time. But if they're working, you gotta back off.
It is hard, especially with the little ones, right? They're so adorable. But it is helpful for their training if the public ignores them. Feel free to talk to the puppy raiser or the guide dog handler and ask them if it's okay to meet their dog, or ask them about the program and the dog. But to approach the dog directly or try to touch the dog would interrupt their work.
We're talking with Ann Tyson, puppy raising field manager for Guide Dogs for the Blind. Ann, tell us about how a dog is matched up with a client.
So during their training, the instructors who are teaching the dogs will note things about the dog's personality and their strengths. They might be an energetic, confident dog that would do well working with a client that likes to walk quickly or lives in a city and has a very, very busy schedule. Or there might be a dog that is a little bit lower energy, that really likes to, doesn't have as much confidence for a city life. They could be matched with someone in a smaller town that has fewer busy routes that they go on. So there's a lot that goes into understanding the client and the client's needs, as well as the dog and what the dog has to offer to bring to the team. And our instructors do a wonderful job of matching the dogs with what the clients are needing in their guide dog.
Yeah. Do the do the puppy raisers get to meet the individuals who receives the dog that they've trained?
Yes, most of the time they do. So when the dog completes training, the puppy raisers are invited to one of the graduations. And at the graduation, they get to spend some time with the client. And if that isn't possible, then we do offer a virtual meeting via Zoom for the raiser and the client to meet.
Oh, that's great. That must be a special time.
It is definitely a special time. And sometimes it's lifelong connections that are created during that meeting.
And let's talk a little bit more about the new hybrid model that you guys are offering. How does that differ from the traditional puppy raising model?
So in the traditional program, the volunteers will attend the local club activities, and much of their hands-on training will happen during those club activities. In our hybrid model, we have offered online learning plus webinars plus periodic half-day hands-on workshops that are on our Oregon campus. And that provides all the training that is needed for these volunteers to raise the puppies. So they do not need to join a local club or attend local club activities. And this is helpful for volunteers who might not live near a puppy club or whose lifestyles don't easily accommodate regular puppy club activities.
And you guys are introducing this coming up on March 23rd, is that right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we are having two informational meetings. The first one is on March 23rd on our Oregon campus. And the participants would arrive and see one of our graduations that we've been talking about. And then after the graduation, they'll get a campus tour to show everyone, the buildings on campus and all of the departments. We have a vet clinic and we have training center, and they'll get a tour of our campus. And then after that, everyone will regroup in our assembly room for an informational meeting that will talk about, you know, the different puppy raising models, the puppy raising community, the training that we provide to them, the ongoing support that they'll receive from staff and other volunteers. We'll answer questions about the time commitment, about what they'll be teaching the puppies, about the estimated cost of raising a puppy, and most importantly, next steps to get on the pathway to raising a puppy.
What would you say to someone who's kind of thinking about, you know, that might be a fun thing to do, is to help raise a guide dog? What do you tell them?
It is such a life-changing experience, not just for the client, but for the volunteer. If it is possible for someone to do, I highly recommend it. And if someone, one of your listeners right now is interested, this is an excellent time to attend one of these informational meetings. I just talked about the one that's in person on March 23rd, but we also have one on March 28th that's via Zoom. So you could sign up for that and listen and see if this might be something that is a good fit for you and your family.
Could you tell us about some other volunteer opportunities that Guide Dogs for the Blind has? Maybe somebody can't raise a puppy. What else could they help out with?
So our puppy clubs, even if you can't raise a puppy, we are always in need of what's called puppy sitters. So sometimes the puppy raisers need someone to watch a puppy for a day or a weekend, or maybe even a week while they travel for a vacation or for work. And so our puppy sitters provide temporary care for our puppies in training. And we are always in need of puppy sitters, both in the hybrid program and in the club-based program. We also have puppy-raising volunteers that help the clubs with things besides having a puppy in the home. And that might be organizing activities for the puppy club, or helping with setting up the meetings, or finding toys, or other things for the puppy clubs. And then we have non-puppy raising volunteer roles on our Oregon campus, including foster care. So sometimes the dogs that are in training on our Oregon campus benefit from living with a family during training rather than living on our campus. And we have wonderful volunteer foster care providers that have that dog in their home and then are able to take the dog to campus in the morning, and the dog does their training, and then pick the dog up in the afternoon. And the dog spends their evenings and weekends in a family environment. So we definitely have a need for foster care volunteers as well as puppy raising volunteers. And we have volunteer opportunities that are on campus as well, helping with public tours and other things. So we have many, many opportunities for volunteers, both with and without dogs and puppies. And we appreciate every single one of our volunteers who dedicate their time to us.
Yeah. Guide Dogs for the Blind is a nonprofit, and you're always accepting donations. How can people help out that way?
We have a website. So if people want to donate on our website, they can go to guidedogs.com. And the very first page of the website has information on making a donation. And we could not do this without our wonderful donors. Like we said, our dogs and all our services are provided at no charge. So, you know, we definitely rely on the generosity of our donors and our volunteers.
Excellent. And the last little bit we have here, Anne, tell us again about the new hybrid puppy raising program and the introductory meetings that are coming up pretty soon.
So we are starting this new hybrid program. The puppies will be arriving in May. And our introductory meetings are on March 23rd on the Oregon campus and March 28th via Zoom. And for people that are interested, they can sign up on our website at guidedogs.com/puppy raising and then click on the hybrid puppy raising link. And that will take you to the informational sign up.
And just to come out to the boring campus, that would be just kind of a great way to see how things run too, right?
Absolutely. We have campus tours. And like I said, our graduations are open to the public. Our website has a wonderful calendar that people can see when we're having events on campus.
It's always so fun to talk to Guide Dogs for the Blind. And I thank you for being on the show this time. It's been really nice.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed our call.
We've been talking today with Ann Tyson, Puppy Raising Field Manager for Guide Dogs for the Blind. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.